What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Swim Collective Podcast. I'm Scott, as always. I'm with my main man, Big B.
Yo, 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 what up?
What up, dude?
Ready for another podcast?
Let's do the pod, man. So today, I wanted to give us a chance to go over some of our wild cards. I know we went over some of them, some dark horses, some wild cards. So what I did, I just went through events, and it's mainly events that I'm excited to watch, and wanted to maybe dive into some storylines a little bit more. But other than that, I don't really have a plan. So
we're winging it. It's what we do best.
We're wings up. So, but before, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday about some coaching carousel possibilities. So, like B and I talked about, I think in the first or second trials prediction, talking about Dave Durden potentially going to Texas. I think that's totally feasible. The friend that I talked to yesterday, one of the things he brought up was that he had heard that Wyatt Collins was going to be named head coach, and they're bringing in Brendan Hansen. That's one thing that we've talked about, one thing that is totally possible. So obviously that rumor mill is still swirling, and maybe no one really knows what's going to happen. And Brandon just
Texas
shook
does.
It. Texas knows. Eddie knows. Eddie, I'm sure you don't listen to this, but if you do, could you tell us? That'd be great. He also told me that Mike Bottom is potentially being pushed out at Michigan, and that Jeremy Kipp is on the way out at Southern Cal, and that Ray Lewis is going to be going to Southern Cal.
That's just wild to me. I mean, we talked a little about, like, I mean, Ray Lewis is obviously a very good coach in his own right, but he has a reputation that I didn't think would allow him to really be taken anywhere else. But, you know, obviously he still gets a bunch of good recruits and good transfers year after year, so that's not going to be a difference there. I did not see him leaving Indiana, so that's wild to me.
Yeah, I think the thing with Ray is I feel like for probably a bulk of the program, it's a good experience because they go to Indiana understanding the prestige of swimming at Indiana and swimming under the type of coach that Ray is. I don't know. I don't know Coach, and I don't know Coach Ray, and I never swam for Coach Ray, so I don't know. And I don't judge people by swim comments.
No, because rumors are rumors for a reason. Yeah, but, could be one-sided person, could be
The Ray going to Southern Cal, Ray's got Southern Cal roots. It makes sense. If Bottom is potentially being pushed out, that opens up, well, who takes over Michigan? LSU is still out there. Who's going to take over LSU? So I thought those are some pretty interesting takes that my friend had. And if those things all happened, then the coaching carousel is going to be absolutely spinning.
Yes. I mean, that's all I've heard from, you know, various coaches I know as well. Is it just that, like, we're only starting to scratch the surface of the coaching carousel, because there really wasn't one last year due to COVID. People kind of, you know, were stuck in place, and everyone just kind of wanted to hang on to what they had. And now I think we're going to see, especially after Olympic year, like, it's quiet now. I think as soon as the Olympics are done, then it's like basically there's nothing holding anyone anywhere for like 4 years that have tied, like, at the top that are tied to pro groups and various things of that nature. So, and then after a year of staying stagnant due to the pandemic, I think now we're going to see it in like an explosion. So,
yeah. And with Ray, let's say Ray leaves Indiana and goes to Southern Cal, the thing that is the most glaring to me is, yeah, maybe it would be nice to be in sunny Southern California, but are you going to have more resources there than you do at Indiana in terms of scholarships, how, you know, Indiana in-state and out-of-state tuition versus Southern Cal as a private university, pool space, prestige of Indiana? I think it would be kind of I don't think it would be a hard personal pull for Ray, because he's got big USC ties, but I think it would be a hard resource pull.
I think the only thing that maybe that they do have that's pretty nice is that obviously USC, I assume they have outdoor facilities.
Yeah, they do.
You know, yes, things are getting better, but I still think at least for like next year, there's still going to be certain restrictions and stuff that maybe we have to get around and don't know. It's still kind of cloudy there, but having an outdoor pool is going to be a lot easier to work around than indoor. That might be a positive, but that's only for this year only before things really return to normal. So,
yeah.
Oh, no.
So, moving on. So, I'm going to start off with the women's 100 fly. Obviously, B and I have been over our picks and what, you know, the overall storylines of what we think is going to happen. But I was talking to B yesterday and I was like, let's do another episode where we, you know, maybe talk about some of the names that aren't being talked about a whole lot. But we're also, I'm sure, going to talk about some names that are talked about quite a bit. So this is kind of a mix of people that we think can step up, people that we're excited to watch swimming. And so the women's 100 fly, it's obviously a super stacked field. There's some great veterans in it. But I'm really excited to watch three ladies in particular. One is Olivia Bray, a Roanoke native, Texas Longhorn. She's got great walls, great speed. So I'm really excited to see her 100 fly. And then coming off of a really big year in the NCAA for NC State is Kylie Alons. Had massive flies at Nationals, had a great fly split in the medley. And then someone that hasn't been talked about a whole lot that at least I haven't heard talked about a whole lot is our short course meter 50 fly American record holder, Maddie Bannock. She had an awesome ISL season. She was a very decorated swimmer for Tennessee. You know, her short course meter 50 fly record's a 24.8, and I would love to see her put together a really great second 50 and put herself in the mix for the 100 fly.
Definitely has the capability. I mean, obviously she has the speed for it. She's only entered in two things at the trial, so the 100 fly and the 50 free. So obviously going to put that speed on display. I think she's well down in the rankings, but obviously that doesn't mean much, especially since she just had her breakout in that short course meter fly. So, I mean, that's what this year is all about, is who's going to break out. And I mean, we're seeing that. I mean, obviously, you know, we talked about Claire and Tori being the top two having their breakout right now. That's why it's just going to be why I think it's going to be so tough to beat them, is because it's like you expect people to have those breakouts and that's who's going to compete. But they're like already at the top two and they're in their breakout. So it's going to be tough to overcome. But like the ones you mentioned, definitely. And then I think another name that we kind of didn't really mention, I think we did a pretty good job of basically talking about 8 to 12 names for every event. But I know that one that kind of fell through the cracks, that's like my like ultimate wild card, and one who can be, you know, kind of surprised, is, you know, one of the greatest short course yard swimmers of all time. And also holds a few records and just had a fantastic kind of breakout ISL season, that is Beta Nelson.
Yeah.
Sure. She's basically seated like 8th to 16 in like everything. And she is like 10th in the 100 fly. But obviously known more for her walls and her speed, because of the walls mainly. So, but the fact that she had such a good ISL season, short course meters, I think that's another, that's going to help her transition to long course. So I'm interested to see what she'll do. I think she could definitely be someone to look out for in the 5 events she's in, which is, 100 back, 100 fly, 2 IM, 100 free, and the 200 back. Obviously, she did more of the backstroke short course, and she was also in the IM. But I have her as my ultimate wild card because she's so diverse and in so many different things, and I could see her continuing the momentum she built through the ISL.
And I do something that you've said for quite some time now, is the advantage those that swam in the ISL are going to have going into this meet. Just having that really consistent international experience and high caliber racing experience going into this meet, when, you know, this is really the first big major US competition for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to come in unfamiliar with high stakes competition. And yeah, the pressure of making the Olympic team and the stress of making the Olympic team. And I think the coming into a meet where you're looking at, where the majority of the people that swim are looking at less than a 25% best times percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be suited very well to compete with confidence.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, you mentioned another one who I also have is I almost, when I was looking at another big wild card pick is, Erica Brown also had a really good ISL season. You know, she's someone that's going to be a force to reckon with in the 100, 200 free, if not individually, definitely for relays. And then she's also someone that has the speed and the fly. And then obviously for the 50 as well. So we'll see. So it's, but I do think that, and my main male wild card as well also has someone who known for their short courtyard prowess, known for the underwaters. You've had him on the show before. Didn't really talk about him much. And during our trials picks, I know he came up a little bit in like 100 fly, but that's Coleman Stewart. I mean, he's in the 100 fly, 100 back, 100 free. Someone who's shown that like going from yards to meters, yes, it was still short course, but just that added extra could still succeed. Had a very successful year transitioning to the pro scene, and then from that yards to meters and showing that he could still compete with the best of them in something other than yards. So he's another one of like kind of my ultimate wild cards where he should be someone that we're looking at for multiple events.
Yeah, for sure. And I think depending on how fast 4 through 6 is in the men's 100 free, I think Coleman has a really good shot at making that relay.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but you're right. I think that he's got a lot of versatility, and he's definitely someone that's going to be in the mix, and definitely going to be somebody that I think will swim up big time. He knows how to compete when the stakes are high.
Definitely.
So next up, I got to the men's 400 free, and we went on quite a bit in the men's 400 free, but someone that I think historically swims well long course meters that you might have mentioned, but I know I didn't talk about is Eric Knowles.
I actually had him written down here as well.
Nice, dude. I mean, you go, man.
It was just like we might have mentioned him like once or twice for like a top eight, but we didn't really break into it. And honestly, he didn't have the best NCAA season either, but. For all we know, he could have been that maybe this is what he was looking for the whole year. You know, maybe he was like, hey, I like really have a chance in some of these events, like short course, maybe he was looking ahead, but I know he didn't have the year he wanted. Could have been for many different reasons, but definitely someone who flew under the radar. Definitely someone, I mean, he's seated 4th in the 4 free. If he has a good meet, definitely could be someone that breaks through. And like we talked about a little bit, the 4 free is a pretty open event right now. I'm obviously like Dwyer and Jaeger were representatives last time and they're not there anymore. So it's like pretty open. Obviously I think, and another couple to kind of couple off like Eric Knowles being a wild card. We talked about it a little bit, like for whatever reason. And this was me. I counted Townley out, didn't think he was swimming it. He's in the sheet. I'm not going to count him out.
Yeah.
Had another one who had a great end of his ISL, did really well in the 4 free, 2 free, has represented the U.S. in the 4 free internationally in the past. Like, not going to count him out.
No, not at all. I wouldn't even say Townley's a wild card.
He's a favorite.
I would say that many of us are expecting him to make the team.
Yeah, it was just like for whatever reason I had like mentioned that he wasn't swimming and kind of wrote him off. And I feel like that's not just to our picks that he should be in there. And then the other big thing is again not necessarily who is swimming, but someone who's not. Bobby Fink is not entering the 4 free, so he is invested in the 4 IM, which was something we did talk about. Like, which way are like is Bobby going to go? Which way can Kieran Smith go? Kieran Smith is entered in both, by the way. I can't see him doing both. I think he'll make the judgment call on which one looks crisper. I'd imagine it's the 4 free.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be the 4 free, but I also think that these events are. Might seem a little bit to be equally open, but I think that Smith would make a good call by prioritizing the 400 free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely agree. Eric Knowles deserves to be talked about coming in seated 4th. It's no slouch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Women's 400 IM, 2 people. Michaela Sargent we did briefly mention Michaela Sargent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she's been a little bit quiet, and I have no idea where things are at for her, but she had a really big lugs in 2019.
Yeah, she did.
Bursted onto the scene, made the U.S. national team. She's a 437. And, you know, and same thing for the next individual I'm going to mention too, but, you know, how fast is that second spot going to need to be in the 400 IM? And so I think Michaela can be someone that you know, maybe she doesn't make a team, but she has the potential to swim up to top four or five for sure. And then the other person that I'm really excited to watch is Evie Pfeiffer.
Yeah, she's definitely one that I'd like talked about the dark horse. I agree with that. She's been really consistent in the 4AMs the past few years. She's poised to have a good one. Another thing to note is that Leah Smith is entered. That not like a dark horse or wild card. She's definitely a favorite. She has the second fastest best time in the field, other than Melanie. So, just kind of saying that she is in it. So, she could definitely be someone to make it. And then another kind of wild card that I didn't talk about, or that we didn't talk about yesterday, I think should be mentioned, is another kind of young gun. That is Katie Grimes, 15-year-old. She's been a 441 earlier this year, so. You know, if she can continue on that trend of kind of like coming into her own, kind of like Claire and Tori are, then, you know, she could be someone. It's a big drop, I understand. But again, like just someone that we might see in like the top eight. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, late last month, Evie was a 440.1, which isn't too terribly far off her best, which I think is what, like a 438. So she can finish well. She's super, super, super solid in all four disciplines. So, you know, definitely. Really excited to watch her race. I think that if the stars align, I think she could be someone that we'd be looking at potentially making a team. Men's 100 breaststroke, we talked about this pretty in depth, but kind of wanted to revisit it and kind of maybe still dig into the storyline, because I got to talk about my boy Cody Miller. So I think there's three people, maybe four people, that think that Cody Miller will make the Olympic team. And I think it's me, Coleman from SwimSwam, Cody, and his wife. And it seems like everyone else is doubting Cody. So stay with me for a minute. So one, he has the experience. He's a veteran. He knows when he steps up on the block for prelims and semis and, you know, God willing, finals, he knows what it takes to be good enough on a certain day to make the Olympics. And I think that's something, regardless of how he has swam over the past couple months, and he hasn't been out of this world, but he's been pretty consistent. I think he's going to swim his way to the 100 breast behind Michael Andrew. Hang on. And then my other dark horse, well, my other wild card is Max McHugh.
Yeah.
I think he will be out pretty close to Michael Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And probably looking at being second at the wall. And then can he hang on? And if he hangs on, he's got a great shot.
For sure. He's a wild card. Like I said, I ain't picking Cody Miller, but he ain't a wild card. He a favorite. I know that he's not everyone's top.
That's what I'm talking about, B. There you go.
He ain't everyone's top two, but he's in my top four.
I was just trying to change your mind. All right.
He's in my top four. No, I still think it's Nick Fink and Michael Andrew, but.
I think Fink makes it in the two.
Yeah, Max McHugh is the ultimate wild card, though, because obviously he got the 49 speed and short course yards. Just whether he can translate that to his long course.
I think ultimately it's going to be Michael Andrew and Cody in the 100, and then Nick Fink and whoever else wants to make it in the 200. I think we're going to have four different breaststroke representatives on the men's side.
True. And the only other person I would mention would be Brandon Fisher, 32-year-old phenom, just keeps finding ways to go best time. So
how you doing that, man?
Yeah, I don't know. He just keeps dropping time.
My man must be eating his vegetables.
He's got to be doing something.
He's on that low inflammation diet.
He's got to be doing something. But I don't know if he'll be able to. Who knows? I mean, he keeps dropping time, so can't count him out either. We'll see.
Not at all. Men's 400 IM. I didn't write this down, but. Just giving a fellow Virginia Gator some love. Keith Myberg's like top 20, seated top 20, and I think he's gonna make a semifinal berth for sure.
It could be there's only prelims finals for 4AM.
No, just kidding. He's gonna make a.
He can make it though. Man, who knows?
Man,
Ryan Lochte's entered. That's a wild card if he even does it. I don't know. I can't believe he's even considering doing it, to be honest.
So let me rephrase. I think Keith will swim up and finish high top 16 in the men's 400 IM.
He had a great NCAA season.
Really, really good year. You know, he had, I forget what exactly happened his freshman year. I think he had a kidney stone or had to get his appendix out or something and took him a while to get back up to form and speed, but he is definitely someone who his strokes trend a little bit better long course, and I think the 400 IM is going to be a really great event for him. So, yo, Keith, what's up? So, moving on, women's 100 backstroke. We mentioned this person, but this is someone that had a really good year, was pretty much as top form could get for her, was a big standout for her team and a big standout for Braden Holloway at NC State, and that is Kat Burkhoff. She's got great speed and she can finish too. So I'm really excited to watch her 100 backstroke.
Yeah, she's seed top. We went pretty extensive in who the top eight seeds are. Like, they've all got a really good chance. Or at least they have the speed too. I mean, it's insane. There's literally the top 10 are all seeded with the sub minute, and literally I think only a handful broke 00 last time, and it took a 59.1 and 59.2 to make it. And we have seven girls that are seeded with times that were faster than what made it last time. So again, not everyone goes PBs, but even if they don't go PBs, it's going to be faster because everyone knows how close it is at the top right now. So everyone's going to bring it. Pair of Walshes. Those are some wild cards for me, Alex and Gretchen. We talked to Gretchen about Gretchen a little bit more so, like the 1500 free again, kind of before Claire and Tori kind of burst on the scene. It was Gretchen doing that. And not that she hasn't like lived up to that. It's just that since she kind of had her breakthrough a couple years ago, she hasn't like continued to like drop a lot. It's just been like a little bit, but if she's poised to have a good year, she can do it. Alex Walsh coming off a really good NCAA season. She could be someone. And again, like I already mentioned her earlier, is my like ultimate wild card, but Beaton Nelson, you know, she's way down there, but you know, she's got the speed. So, and she had a good, short course. So can she translate to long course? The 100 backstroke for women, like there's so many names we can mention just because of the talent.
I'm really excited to watch that race. I think you have Reagan Smith, you have Claire Gerzon, you have Olivia Smaglia, Ryan White, Catherine Burkhoff, Kathleen Baker. If Kathleen Baker's foot isn't super bad, she's going to be in the mix. I mean, this is for me probably the event where I truly just throw my hands up and I say I have no idea. It could go anyway. You know, I think one thing with the youth of this meet and how we have a lot of young, especially young girls that are in positions to make it. There's a certain unpredictability of that young talent, and then coupling that with maybe the perceived expectation that they feel or their coaches feel for them to make the Olympics. As much as youth is on their side and like that youth prowess is on their side, I think that also makes them a wild card because you don't know how it's gonna shake out at the US Olympic trials, one of the fastest meets in the world, period. So, but that's going to be a really fun race no matter what. So next up, women's 100 breaststroke, the two names that have come up the most and even the two names that pop out to me the most are obviously Lily King and Annie Laser. And one person that I don't think we can count out and no one can count out is Molly Hannes. She was a 2016 Olympian for us, had a good ISL season, has great speed, is a you know, very talented long course 100 breaststroker.
For sure. I mean, she's definitely up there as like a favorite. I don't see too many wild cards in this one, but they already mentioned, just because I think Lily King is just, especially in the 100, is just too far ahead of the rest to really have two spots be open. So it's like a battle for that final one. And I mean, you have your usual suspects, Annie Laser, Molly Hannes. Can't count out Micah Sumrall. She's been around a long time. She's consistent. Emily's been around a few years now, had a good ISL season. She's someone we talked about. Bethany Glott in the past has shown that she has really good speed. If she shows into form, she could be there. Lydia Jacoby, she's one that's the young gun coming out of nowhere. Yeah. Not out of nowhere, but like to recently making her mark. But outside of like those, I don't see too many that are going to, that really are just going to like burst through. Just But I mean, there's a lot of there's multiple sub like 107s all the way to 14. But until they really start to break into the ability to go 105 low, I just can't see them making a real threat to that top five, top six. So
yeah, gotcha. So women's 200 freestyle. This young lady is someone that was one of your relay picks, but I think she's going to make the team individually, and that's Paige Madden.
Definitely could. She had a great finish out to really, really good season as a senior for NCAA.
Hard to call it a breakout, because the year before probably would have been the breakout happened, but phenomenal season. Three individual golds in NCAAs, coming off of a team title win. You know, what is she? 141, 433. So she's got the speed and the base to be able to have a super strong 200 free. I think Katie Ledecky is gonna be out there and is gonna kind of be out there in a league of her own. But I think behind her is gonna be Paige Madden. And then I still do think that like Allison Schmidt, Katie McLaughlin, Simone and Leo will be in the mix too. But I think Paige is gonna find a way to swim onto that individual spot in the 200 free.
Shall see. A lot of big names always in the 2 free. Like just a lot. I mean, down on the list, I mean, even Tori Husk has found her way on there, Brooke Ford, Mallory Comer Ford, like they're all down there, like not even really that close to top eight. Emma Wyan, we talked about her in multiple events. Justina Kozin, she's another young one who has had international success from like World Juniors and is someone who's coming into her own, who's in a lot of different events and is a wild card and dark horse and a lot of different things. Abby Weitzel's even entered in this. Kate Drabo, more known for a fly in this. Like all the Duluth sisters are in this. Like there's just so many different names, just so many different events that find themselves two free. It's the same for the guys. I mean, for me, the men's two free too. We can talk about that. Like, I mean, so two people that I had as my wild card were Gunnar Bentz and Clark Smith. Clark Smith isn't even entered in the meet at all. He's not swimming. I know that he has had medical issues in the past. He hadn't been swimming much, so I guess maybe he came to the decision just wasn't for it. I hope he has found peace in that. And then Gunnar Bentz isn't even in the two free. He is in the meet, but he's not in the two free. So. Mm-hmm. Two relay spots that we already said probably weren't going to be repeated are definitely open now, and that kind of opens the door. I mean, you have Dressels is in the two free, not sure how much of it he's going to do. Conger is still in the two free, again, been around a while. Lochte's in the two free. Shane Koss is in the two free. Maxime Rooney, who's kind of put his name in a bunch of it, he's in the two free. I mean, just both men's and women's two free. A lot of big names, a lot of people that swim a lot of different events. It's kind of like, for whatever reason, everyone's in the two free. One free, two free. I guess everyone just wants the shot at the relay. You know, just kind of throw their name in the hat.
Well, I think it's definitely, it gives, there's a lot more wild cards that can throw their hands in and give it a shot. Because and all of those guys that you mentioned are really, really talented 200 freestylers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so men's 200 fly. I was kind of thinking about it a little bit more. So I put Luca as a wild card because of his shoulder.
Fair.
So I and this will be coupled with also a defense of how he's swimming, but assuming things are fine, I still think that Luca's a lock 100%. I think Luca wins. If something is askew or things aren't firing, I don't know. I could see him being outside of the top three or four for sure. But he still is trending well to swim fast. Yeah.
Just for a disclaimer, the rumor mill is that he has been dealing with a shoulder injury in his first collegiate season. And that's like, it hasn't been bad, but it's not why. It's like been said why he's not as crisp as everyone thought he would be.
But I think recently he was like a 157.
Yeah, I mean, he's still going fast.
So that trends well for his lead up to being 153.
Yeah.
And then someone that I think that could have a shot that, you know, in that second, third, or fourth slot is Nick Albiero. He was a 138 in NCAAs. I talked about him a little bit yesterday, but he was a 157 at Mission Viejo. He's coming off of a great NCAA season. He was an NCAA champion in the 200 fly. Louisville men won ACCs with him kind of at the helm of that. And I think that if Luka's on, Luka wins. And then it'll be a showdown between Albiero, Trenton Julian, and Tom Shields.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very... I mean, I can't... Zach Harding has represented the U.S. on an international scale before. Can't count him out. Miles Mochlow has been really fast. Club Wolverine guy. I mean, Brooks Fail had a really good year and kind of broke out. Gunnar Bentz, he's been an Olympian and represented us for multiple things. He swam the ISL. He's in the two-fly and just recently swam a 157. Caleb Dressel says he's going to do the two-fly. Who knows? Again, who knows what Dressel's doing? Dressel knows. But, like, if he says he's going to do it, then that means he's probably got a chance to go really fast at it. So I'm not going to count him out. And to be honest, his butterfly is his best, like, pure stroke, like, not including all other things. So not going to count him out. Justin Wright, you know, he's been on the decline a little bit. He has represented us in global scale, but he hasn't really popped off anything amazing recently, but can't count him out based on what he's done in the past. He is a 154 as a personal best. Couple names, I've talked more about the 100 teammate Jack Saunderson from Towson. He was always better at the 200 short course yards, never quite put together the same kind of level for the 200 fly, but you never know. Change training groups, different mindset. Not going to count him out of anything. Heard talking to one of my former teammates who's actually the coach now, was talking to Bernardino from State, and he thinks Jack is looking really good. Mm-hmm. So
Bernardino knows.
Bernardino does
Dino
know.
Knows.
Speaking of Dino, one of his swimmers at NC State, Zach Brown, also swam club team more. He's always been really good at the two fly, and especially like the longer he goes, longer it is. He's seeded 11th. I think he's one of those guys you got to look out for potentially top eight. I mean, and then, of course, even Chase, it's just like without Phelps, it's just this event is so much more open. It's so much more open because it's always been like it's Phelps. You know, he's the best at this event for so long. So it's like with that being gone, that it's just like wide open. It's going to be interesting seeing who takes that one. That's any event where someone like that without Phelps there now, that's just like, it's going to be so interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Women's 200 IM. Very similar to the women's 100 backstroke. Maybe not all of the prestige of having a world record holder in the event. I think the women's 200 IM is going to be an awesome race. I think it's going to be
for sure
one of the most exciting races to watch on the women's side. You know, Madison Cox, Kathleen Baker, Alex Walsh, Kate Douglas. So the two people that I want to talk about are Alex Walsh and Kate Douglas. And we talked about them. We talked about them yesterday, and I talked about Kate a little bit. But I think if Kate Douglas's ability meets kind of like the perceived promise of Kate Douglas's ability, I think she's going to make the team for sure. Like, tremendous speed and all four strokes. What she was, what, 50 free champ at NCAAs, runner up 100 fly, runner up 100 free. You know, her teammate Alex Walsh, who's also kind of one of my wild cards, and they're not so much like a wild card to swim up top eight. They're a wild card to make it, and they would obviously be passing either Margallis or Cox. But I think that's an event that I'm really excited, really really excited to watch. Especially with is Ella Easton out?
Yeah, she retired.
Yeah, with Ella Easton retiring, that 2 through 4 really really open up big.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the final event that I looked through and wanted to talk about a little bit. You mentioned her earlier in the women's 100 free, Erica Brown. I do think Erica Brown's a threat in the 100 fly. I do think she's a threat in the 50 free, but I think she's a major threat and a major contender in the 100 freestyle as well. That I don't know how surprising that is to people, but I think the big thing that's going to happen that I really think is a possibility is Kate Douglas being top 6 in the 100 free and making the team.
I mean, it's definitely not out of the question. There's so much. Again, it's kind of like we were just talking about the 2 free. The 100 free just brings out so much talent because it just seems that every big name and every good swimmer just is able to do that, to do both. Yeah, I mean, like literally just looking at the list, like 1 through 20 are all 1 through 21. I mean, they're all big names that we've heard before and that all have a chance. I mean, you have your I mean, you have your young one, your Tori Husk, your Claire Curzon, your Gretchen Walsh, you know, the kind of up and coming. Then you have your like just personal in college, like Kate Douglas. And then you have your like, you know, just your ones that have been around like for a little bit, international scene, your Allison Schmitz, your Katie Ledecky's, Olivia Smoliga, your the Deloofs, Natalie Hines, who had a really good ISL season. She's another one that could be pretty wild card. She's like, she's just continuing to find a way to get better since she's been done and graduated. You know, I mean, like I said, so Kate Douglas, Isabel Ivey, Bina Nelson, you know, current college swimmers, just graduated college swimmers, they're still like in the thick of things. So just a very open event. So it really is whoever's going to be on. I mean, Linnea Mack, who's going best times right now, just out of finding her kind of own right as a pro, just kind of a having a breakthrough. So, I mean, and then of course you, it's just, it's anybody's game. So yeah, it's just whoever wants to show up and take it. You know, I think Simone Manuel's, you know, going to take the top one, and it's just going to be who wants to fill in behind her. So
yeah, and you might have said this. Did you see that Robert Howard has retired?
Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like, I was wondering why we hadn't mentioned him before, and it's just because he hasn't been swimming. You know, he hadn't swum anything, so it was like, that's why he didn't really come up. Like a lot of what we've been talking about are based on like, you know, recent performances and times recently, and so people haven't swam it, which is why we kind of overlooked Townley in the 400. Like if people haven't been swimming it, you know, it's not really something that we talked about. So he was definitely someone that would have been a threat for the 100 free, but like obviously he's got his future planned out. Other things came up. He tried to come back and swim, didn't work out, but sounds like based on the article that he's got his life together though, and he's got a sound big, and comfortable.
He has a very big job lined up. So that's awesome. Congrats. That's awesome. Man, I think that probably for a lot of people, this has very little has to do with swimming within the context we're talking about it. But at large, a lot of people made a lot of pivots the past year.
Yeah.
With their lives.
For sure. I mean, it is. I feel like it's very interesting the amount of people who have, you know, retired right before trials comes around. And like we saw Pebley open up, and a lot of it has to do with like the pressure and not liking who they're becoming and like what the sport is doing to them. And like you add the pressure of like having been in the Olympics or like trying to like, or being expected to make the Olympics or like having those high expectations and like not feeling like you're up to it. Add that to the fact that we just got out of, you know, a global pandemic in which, you know, people weren't allowed to train. Like, you know, people got, like you said, they had to pivot things for various reasons due to like, COVID, like people had to make their priorities. And so I think now is like, we're kind of seeing is like, people are like, I just don't think it's like in me. I can't do it. Like mentally, it's just not right for me right now. And I can like, and I'm sound in me walking away. So I think it's like, it's interesting to see. Again, I don't really remember the build up to Olympics in the past, just wasn't as invested as I am now, but, a lot of high profile names calling it quits right before is, I don't want to say calling it quits, but you know, they're finding, you know, the right time to step away. And right before the Olympics is just like, it's interesting timing because usually you see it from people doing it after Olympic trials, and after the Olympics is where you really see it. So,
yeah.
But I just think that speaks volumes to what this past year has been, and kind of speaks volumes to those who have like come through it and are like looking really good and like just what they've had to overcome. So,
yeah, no, I think it was this past year plus. I think whether you have a situation like Pebley where he was put in a position where he came face to face with himself. You know, he said something that I thought was really, I think what it was hard because it kind of just opened up his chest. He says, as the days, weeks, months, and years following the games passed, my inner dialogue took its toll on me in the harshest of ways. It went from a fire of redemption into a desperation to achieve this goal. It went from something I dreamed about to something I needed in order to be happy. And with Pebley, obviously, it's through the lens of mental health and the toll of, I think, the toll of being a high performer. And then the toll of being a high performer within a time where for a lot of swimmers and a lot of athletes, the outlet of their sport and the being able to continually keep touch with that big piece of their identity, whether it's their competitive identity or just the identity of day-to-day being a swimmer, was either temporarily put on pause or for a long time put on pause. And I think that in a lot of different ways that happened to a lot of people, where a lot of people are stepping back and taking stock of their life and who they are and what they want to do. And, you know, my wife is making a career change, and, you know, I think for me, it has solidified that of loving coaching and loving being a part of like our people's lives and understanding just like how important that sport and consistency and the consistency of team and people can be, you know. But I think it's been a learning process and a really harsh learning curve for a majority of people.
For sure. I definitely think this past year, a lot of people realized they were forced to like step back and kind of, you know, rethink like what truly matters to each individual and like what really like matters in the sense of like what you're working towards. So, you know, for a lot of people, especially like in sports, you know, most of the time for most people, they don't get to really choose when, you know, they don't get to choose when the time to like step away really is, you know, like sometimes obviously you do, but like sometimes, you know, when you're like a senior in college and something like swimming that doesn't really have a professional scene, like, yes, you can keep going, but at some point, you know, your career is over. And like for someone like, you know, Pebley, like obviously who was like skilled enough to where like internationally, like he could continue on and do meets and like make money for it and like actually have like opportunities there. You know, for certain people, you know, and then like football, basketball, there's like the draft and all that. But it's like for those who don't make that, like, yeah, they can like do certain things and, you know, make like G leagues and like go overseas and do stuff like that. But it's like for him, he didn't have anyone telling him like, or anything that was really like, you're done. You know, it was kind of like he always had the expectations continued for him, you know, things that were in place where like, you know, he had people being like, hey, you're this, like, so like, you should be like in the Olympics, like you could be. And like when that becomes like your identity, especially when you're done with like college and done with school, and like that's what he was doing, to like not be able to reach that and then like have basically 4 years, which extended to 5 years, of just constantly being like, I need this. I think like for him to take a step back and be able to realize that and not like he's become, I think that is like, and be as vulnerable as he was when he made the post is like really big. And I think it a lot of people should really look into what he's saying and like just kind of say like, be able to take a step back and, you know, really think about like what you're doing and what your identity is. So,
yeah, I like it. Good stuff, man. Anything else before we sign off of here?
I guess like my final like ultimate wild card, I guess, is, and coming off great NCAA season, a historic NCAA season, that if it weren't for Caleb Dressel, we'd be talking about a lot more, and that is Ryan Hoffer. You know, again, another guy completely known for his short course ability. Finally, kind of like had some of his best times since he was in high school. And he's not bad long course. Obviously, he's going to be at trials, and he's entering the 50, 300, 300 fly, which is at NCAAs. If he can continue to find that success that he had short course, he could be someone that we're definitely looking for, especially in the 100 free for a relay spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Without doubt.
Yep. Yeah. Very good. It's an awesome wild card, this Ryan Hoffer. Well, cool, man. So I have no idea when our next episode will be, but Big B is going out to trials, and I think he's going to get to watch his brother make an Olympic team.
I hope so.
And I am off to a mix of swim camp and vacation, but I'm going to bring my computer and my mixer and my microphone, so I will be ready to pod. But we will figure it out. But yeah, man.
But yeah, I'm sure we'll find a way to at least do our Olympic predictions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That'll be a fun one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, we can definitely do that in like July.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But I think, you know, as long as you can Zoom on your phone with your headphones,
yeah,
we can definitely pod for sure. So but Swim Fam, thank you. You're the bomb. Thank you for Tier for sponsoring our podcast. Go to tier.com, use a promo code Tier Collective, and get 30% off your order. To everyone that's racing, give them hell, have fun, go big, full send. See you later, Swim Fam.